the Sister Stories podcast. The aim of this podcast is to marvel at God's sovereignty over each of our lives as women and to encourage each other by sharing our stories. My name is Sophie and today I'm joined by Rachel.
Hello.
Welcome. So first of all, Rachel, can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, so my name is Rachel, as I think you just said, sorry. Yes. And I'm a wedding photographer and I'm married to Geraint.
Great. So we're going to be talking about your journey with the Lord Jesus throughout your life so far. And I would really like us to start with your family background and how you were brought up. So can you tell us about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so raised in a Christian home. So both my parents are Christians and they really felt that they wanted to bring us up to know the Lord. So yeah, was constantly around worship and Bible studies. We had Bible devotions every morning, so sort of learning the Bible from a young age. And then when I was about four, I was reading the Bible with my dad before I went to bed, and he asked if I'd like to become a Christian, and I understood what that meant, that Jesus had died for me. And taken away the things I'd done wrong. So I wanted to put my trust in him. So I did it for, and I think I understood as much as you can, when you're four. So, and then just, learnt the Bible as I grew up. And then, a few different, I had quite vivid dreams. I've always had really vivid dreams, and I'd have dreams about being on God's side, fighting against the other side, and sort of slightly weird dreams like that, but it kept reiterating to me that I was on the right side.
Yeah, they made that decision.
Yeah. And then when I was a teenager, probably 16, 17, this is just a moment that I felt was really significant for me. I was talking to a boy, really liked the boys when I was a teenager, so if I had attention from a boy, I was very taken up with it, and he had sort of alluded to wanting to spend time together in maybe a way that wasn't appropriate. And I sort of came back and said I didn't want to sort of spend time with him for, you know, just the two of us and things like that, and he sort of said, oh, is this because of what your parents believe? Are you just going off them? And I was whoa, this is my faith. Hang on a second. And then I just prayed that God would let my Bible fall open, which I know can sound quite charismatic. And I was just
But sometimes if he wants to use it, he will do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just felt led to do that. So, I just prayed that it would fall where he'd want me to, how he'd want me to speak, how he wanted to speak to me, and it fell open to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. Shall I read it out?
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah.
Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. And I was oh wow, it was lightning bolt. I was oh my gosh, God spoke to me. I was just so excited that it was a personal, that he wanted to talk to me and say you're mine, I've adopted
you. And you're right
you.
To behave in this way, you're right to say no, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly, to honour God with your body. And I was wow. So obviously went back to said person, was no, this is my faith. Mad that God used someone to do that, but God does have a sense of humor, I think.
Yes, for sure. If we go back a little bit over your childhood, perhaps can you tell us a bit about your church background as well? What contribution did the church have in your understanding of the gospel?
Yeah, I think, so we went to quite a few different churches.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
So we weren't really in a solid church for a while, a lot of like, I've been to all sorts of like different types of churches. So I think in some ways that's unhelpful because I have had a lot of different types of teaching, which can be tricky with like theology and things like that. But yeah, I've always just never doubted God's existence and his love for me, and always been just in awe of the cross, that Christ would do that for me. And someone who really doesn't deserve it, and someone who like constantly messes up and goes back to sinning. Yeah, it's just a wondrous thing for me. But yeah, I think church is kind of, I haven't really been solidly in a church until Cornerstone, or at least one that I felt I was really growing in, if that makes sense. Not a fault of my parents, but just couldn't find one that worked for us.
So they were just trying different churches to find the right one, essentially.
But I was homeschooled, so we went to a lot of like Christian homeschool groups, so a lot of my friends were Christians, so I had like that kind of Christian influence in that sense as well.
How long were you homeschooled for?
All the way through.
What they call
a thoroughbred homeschool. Right. Like from
the get-go.
All the way to college. So
one
of those.
How did that feel with then relating to other people? I mean, I'm sure there were still struggles that every young person experiences.
Yeah.
But how did you feel when then you would be in front of kids from mainstream schools maybe, or did you find it easy to relate to them? How did you find these interactions?
I think you definitely, being homeschooled, you feel different. Like, I think there is like a sort of homeschool humor. I like that sounds strange, but like the people I was homeschooled alongside, you kind of just have like a slightly different way of seeing things, and I think you're taught to like challenge things a lot, like challenge culture and things like that. Some of it really helpful, some of it maybe too much. Know what I mean? Like there's good and bad to it, I think. I did have friends that weren't Christians because we did do like groups where I had friends that weren't. So could witness to them as well. So,
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how, so you mentioned that awareness that you had of the cross and what that meant. I wonder how early, so obviously you said you wanted to commit your life to Christ at four. Do you feel that at that age you already understood what the cross meant, or did that come a bit later?
Yeah, I think it's hard to like pin down a moment where I fully understood it. I mean, I don't think I even now fully understand why Christ
would die. No, I don't think you can, really.
The magnitude of that and everything that happened when Christ died is just, like, mind-blowing. But I think that's been, like, a gradual, like, I've understood it more and more. I definitely think from that young age I just knew that Christ had died for me and understood that he'd saved me. And that wasn't on my own, that was all through him. So I think I've learnt that like over time, but I don't know if I could pin
a moment where I was
like, oh, the cross, like I fully understand. If that makes sense.
Okay. I do wonder as well with that story with that boy that you mentioned. So you were 17, something like that? So I wonder whether this was in a sense a turning point for you of actually realizing this is actually my faith, or whether you had that realization before.
I think I knew it was my faith, but I think that was the first, certainly that I can remember, the first moment that I was like, God's spoken to me. And it feels like the word feels alive now in a sense. And then I think like after that I went to like a Bible study week, and there was a moment then that God really just open the word up, and I was like so excited to come and read my Bible, which is maybe something I'd felt was a duty before that, if that makes sense. I would open it and be like, oh, I'm reading God's word, like, this is exciting, kind of thing.
Yeah.
If that answers. I don't know if that answers.
No, that's fine, yeah. No, I was just wondering, yeah, if it was, and because you described it as a key moment, so.
Yeah, I think that was the point that I was like, oh, God speaks to me, like, kind of thing, so.
That's interesting, because you've been exposed to the words throughout your life, really.
Yeah.
But it's taken quite a while for you to think, actually, or to feel like it's something that relates to you more personally, maybe. So,
yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah, and sometimes we need that extra challenge of someone who says something like that boy said, what that boy said, and makes us think, and then you cause to question a little bit more.
Yeah, I always find it so, like, quite funny, because it's like he was saying it for his, like, own, like, I don't know, whatever he had
benefit
in
the sense,
his own benefit, and it actually God used that in his providence to bring me closer to him and be like, no, you're saying no to the world, kind of thing.
Yes. That's great.
Yeah.
And so what, so you said you were homeschooled until university, is that right? Or did you go to
college?
University?
I didn't go to uni, no. I went travelling.
Did you?
I was that hipster girl that went travelling instead.
That's nice.
So I did college, and then I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was like, I'm not going to go to uni just for the sake of it, because I didn't want to party or anything like that.
Yeah.
So me and my sister went to New Zealand for like 7 months, I think, in the end. So, yeah.
And then what did you decide to do in terms of careers and jobs?
So came back from New Zealand, and then I worked in retail, ended up in Hobbs, doing like style advice, which was quite fun. I love clothes, so that was quite fun, like dressing people.
Nice.
And then I met Geraint while I was working there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we got married, I was like, oh, I want to try photography, because I'd done photography in college. And I was like, oh, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm absolutely not doing weddings, because they're so stressful. I was like, I cannot do that. And then in lockdown, someone was like, oh, can you do my wedding?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll try it, because it's only like 30 people and it's going to be really easy.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. And then it just grew from there. So now that's what I do.
And you've been going for how long now?
So that was 2020, so 4 years.
And that's going really well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going really well. Nice. Yeah, I love it. It's just, it's really fun to like go to shoot a wedding and be like, I love this. Like, it's really, I feel really blessed. Yeah.
Have you had, do you do mainly Christian couples, or do you do just anyone who comes to you, really?
Pretty much anyone, maybe like half and half. Certain types of weddings that I won't do, as a personal conviction. But yeah, I'd probably say it's like half and half Christian. And Christian weddings are easier. I will say there's less drunk people, and it's a bit more chilled.
Did you feel you had opportunities to witness to some of these people?
I had one wedding in particular that was quite a small wedding. And they sat me with guests, which normally I don't love, because you're like, you need a break, and you kind of just want to sit back.
It's a bit odd. It might be a little bit awkward, like, what do you actually say to these people?
And the guests are kind of like, oh, it's the photographer, like, why is she sitting here, kind of thing. But I just got chatting to this guy next to me, and I can't remember how we got there, but I started saying like I was in church the next day and that sort of thing. He just started asking me questions. He was like, oh, you know, I'm an atheist, but sometimes I've explored it. And I just ended up telling him about Jesus. Like, I don't know how it happened, but it just, I ended up being able to witness to him. That's while I was having my food, my little break at the wedding. It was amazing.
So I think God just places you where he needs you, doesn't he?
Just that's happened to be sat next to someone that was open to talking about the gospel.
Oh, that's great. Cool. So obviously you've been in Cornerstone for, I can't remember how long exactly.
Six years in October,
And that's great.
Yeah.
And you've said that this was pretty much the first church where it's been more stable maybe for you.
Was hard to begin with, because I'm kind of used to like, I don't know how to say it, because I don't want to paint my parents badly at all. Like you know, moved when they felt it was right to move to church, but I almost felt like there was going to be an expiry date where I'd be like, right,
lessons.
It's time to move on. So I think there was a small period where it was like, oh, we've been here a while. So it was kind of like getting used to this is where you stay if this is where God wants you. Yeah. It's been really nice to stay in a church and get to know people and just have that consistency. And I think serving on the youth teams helped as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about
that. Yeah. Feel like you've got a bit of purpose as well to church. You're not just going to listen and take, you're also there to give, and hopefully I'm there to give and help the young people.
And that's
well.
How you grow as well, isn't it? Yeah. You can't just grow if you'd think just not doing anything.
And you learn so much with the youth because you're in for the talks as well, and they ask you, some of the youth in particular ask me really hard questions, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to really think about this. So it challenges you to think more as well about your views and things like that.
So would you say that just helps you to know theological things better, or is there anything else that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a slight there's a bit of humour to it, but when we did Romans, I was shook because growing up, we maybe had more of a, I never say this right, Arminius?
Oh my goodness, I've lost the word myself.
The view of
Arminianism. Arminian view.
Yes. So
We'll pretend that we got this right.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Yeah. No, so Arminian,
Arminian view, which I didn't even know was a word. So when I came to Cornerstone and it was maybe more leaning towards Calvinistic view, I was like, oh, Calvinism, the word,
what's
really
going on?
Scared me. I was like, oh no, what's, I can't be in this church kind of thing. I was freaking out a bit. So we did Romans and we did predestination and all the deep, I think, is it Romans 9, Romans 8?
Don't ask me the chapter.
It's one of those
Romans. That's all about. That's all I can say.
One of those ones, and I was like, "Oh my goodness!" Yeah. But it was amazing because I think I learned so much, and I don't know if I've got a concrete view on it now. But it was so good to be challenged and to really be like, "Oh, what do I believe about this?" I think that's helped me to sort of see God as providential more. And to, I think it's helped my trust in him more because I'm I know he's in complete, I don't like the word control, but for God, because it feels strange to be he's controlling, but everything's in his hands. So that's been really encouraging to be challenged there.
And in a sense, it's good to know where we stand, and Arminianism or Calvinism helps to know where we are. But sometimes I found that I would find myself not really in the middle, but I would just be unsure. And it's such a big question. It's sometimes really difficult to say I'm one or the other. Obviously, I probably am a Calvinist, but I think so. There you go. That's what's going on in my head whenever I think about it, because it's such a massive topic, and it feels like there's so many facets to it and so many different verses that talk about it that you can then feel really anxious about, where do I stand? Am I on one side, as if they're two sides almost?
Yeah,
and they kind of are.
Exactly.
But it's not necessarily super helpful.
To get too into it, I agree. And you don't want to be trying to pin down God in a way oh, we know everything about God.
Exactly.
Because we can't possibly fathom everything.
Which is probably why
is.
We can't figure it. I can't fully figure it out. And it's sometimes troubled me because I thought, I'm not fully on this side or the other, but although you can feel you're leaning in one direction on these questions, but I think it's really I think you're right, it's really helpful to remember that he's much more complex than any human can understand. And actually all these words, we might find out one day that there was so much more to it than we just didn't get, and they're not enough to describe it actually.
And but it's quite wonderful as well that God is like that we can't comprehend him or fully understand him. I think it makes him more glorious because he's just a mystery as well. Yeah.
And I think it gives great credibility to Christianity in particular,
mm-hmm.
that we know that there is unknown about God, and yeah, there is so much more to discover about him that we still don't know.
Yeah.
I think it really reinforces what we know from the Bible.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. So if we go to perhaps closer times, mm-hmm. And especially post-COVID, but yeah, or even closer to now, what do you think you've learned in the last year or so?
Mm-hmm. Well, funnily enough, I was gonna say about sovereignty.
Mm.
I know we've just sort of been talking about that, yes. But I feel like that's been, you know, aside from all the predestination things, salvation things, I think just knowing that God has all things in his hand has been, like, huge for me this year. Just sort of the past year, for my side of the family and Garrett's side of the family, there's been a lot of hard things and a lot of hurtful things have happened.
Right.
And just things that you're... Yeah, I've had some health things as well. Like, just seems like so many things at once that are really hard. And you're like, how is this okay? Like, how is this fair? Like, it doesn't feel like people should be going through things like that. And it's really hard to know why God's allowing it.
Yes.
And I think just like me and Geraint have constantly been saying to each other, like, God's sovereign, God knows, he's providential, and like, it's simple to say that to each other, but it's helped both of us so much just to keep coming back to that, like, somehow, like, all these things will be for his glory and he will use them in a way that we don't understand. We might never understand why these things happen, but just like that security that somehow God will bring it for his glory. So yeah, just the sovereignty, and I think it's helped me to trust him more, knowing that he is sovereign over all things. And nothing's a surprise to him.
Like, no, exactly.
Like, his providence.
I think recently I've started seeing it even more as he decides for something to happen because he knows what effect it will have in our lives and what we actually need. And sometimes, from our perspective, it's really hard because we really struggle through these things, and it's fair enough, obviously, and we don't want some of these things to happen, obviously. But he just, it's not, I've stopped seeing it as like, oh, God is just laid back and letting, he's not in control of these things, he just doesn't know what could happen, you know. He knows perfectly what's going to happen next, and he's actually, allowing it to happen on purpose. Like, there's a purpose to it. And I think sometimes it sounds really harsh, but actually sometimes I just have to think of it as he's got a bigger plan that we don't see, and that's really helpful, actually.
Yeah.
And we know that's for our good, so...
And it pushes us to him, because it drives us to cling to him more.
Yes.
And to be more... to fall more in love with Jesus, because you're like, he has rescued me from the awful things of this world will one day pass away. And it does. Yeah, I think those hard times are when you run to him, aren't they? More, maybe.
Yes.
Whereas when everything's going right, you're just like, oh, yeah, life's good.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I think you know he's using it to draw you closer to himself.
Yeah, for sure. I think to finish with, if you had any advice to give to a younger Christian, what would you say?
So I think I would say, so I was listening, to a podcast the other day. Can I promote another podcast on you?
I mean, I'm not in competition with anyone. I've chosen to see it like this. Yeah. So go for it.
So it's called Knowing Faith, and it's, a podcast Jen Wilkin is on. And she quoted something on there about our worship and about how, she compared it, I probably won't remember this perfectly, but she compared to, like, so a child, when they're young, they'll thank their parents for all the things they've done for them.
Yeah.
But as that child grows up, they start to thank the parent for who they are. And she was saying it's like when we worship God, like the more we grow, the more we worship him for who he is and not just for what he's done for us.
Mm.
So we can thank him for what he's done for us, but we're ultimately praising him for who he is, like his character. Mm. And I was really like, oh yeah, wow. Like that really struck me, because I feel like culture at the moment, even in like Christian culture, like I'm seeing reels where people are saying, oh, I'm going to church because I leave and I feel really good about myself. Like it makes me feel so good. And
it's all centered on ourselves.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Like that whole self-centered is creeping into like Christian circles even. And like, I'm not saying I'm not self-centered. I know I'm very selfish.
I think we are bound to be in some way or other.
Yeah. But just to like keep like... it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Like, at the end of the day, everything is about him. Like, the whole Bible is about him. And I think just my advice is to keep looking at him and remember that it's all about Christ. It's not all about us. Like, as much as we're being told that it is, I think my advice is just to keep looking at him. Like, keep reading the Bible, keep praying. Pray out loud. I always find that really helpful. Just keep remembering that everything's about him, not about me, not about us.
Especially for young people in our day and age, it's really helpful, isn't it? I mean, and I know it's hard for them to hear that because everyone, as you say, everyone is shouting that it's all about how you feel. If you're upset about something, if you're unhappy in a situation, you're allowed to just withdraw and, you know, leave that and and dismiss it. But actually, no, we should persevere through these hard things, as we said earlier. I think that's really important, isn't it? And young people will learn that the hard way usually, so
definitely.
So if you are a Christian, it's good to learn that quite quickly. Isn't it?
I mean, really, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I've just been like, just I feel like some of the reels, like Christian reels, are either they're either like, you're not allowed to watch any films, any books, read any books, listen to music, like wear any nice clothes, or their Christianity is all about you. Like there doesn't seem to be sort of a middle ground.
It's a shame, isn't it?
But just I think I've been challenged a lot to just keep my eyes on Jesus and be less about myself.
That's what we all need to do, isn't it? Thank you so much, Rachel, for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks for having me. Hopefully I didn't waffle too much.
No, I'm sure it's all good. Thank you. That's all for today's episode of Sister Stories, but join us again next time.